So here's the question. Is this the way that we pray? That is, what I'm saying is, do we only pray if we are in need of something, and then as soon as the need is met, do we cease praying? Is that who we are? You see, I think that many times what we do is we become very good at treating God like he's a spare tire. We only use him if we absolutely need him. That's it. God's the spare tire. Or maybe he's the magic genie. We think of God in that way. But are we the kind of people that we should be if we view God like that? Is God asking, why don't I hear from you more often and not just when you need something? Could God say that to you? See, we need to look at ourselves in this. In the face of opposition and threats, the first century church, we have been doing this study through the book of Acts. The series title was Now What? It's after Easter. Jesus is risen. The church is beginning to explode with people. All of a sudden, many people are coming to know Christ. Now what? How do we build God's church? How do we do that? Well, as what happened last week in our study was that Peter and John, they had healed the lame man, but then they were arrested. They were arrested and they were questioned. And the Sanhedrin told them, okay, I want you to go from this place and I want you to say no more about this Jesus guy. No more talking about him. And so we come to the passage of Scripture here today where they're just after that. But in the face of that opposition, someone telling them, we don't want you to talk about them anymore or else. So there's a threat along with that. The early Christians, what did they do? Did they stop praying? No, they did not. In the face of opposition, they stepped up their prayers. They joined each other in prayer. When life is good, guess what? We should pray. When life is bad, we need to pray. Where else do we go when we find ourselves in a place where we are struggling? We go to God. Yeah, it's true, but our life needs to be encompassed in prayer. Prayer when it's good, prayer when it's bad. So, I saw a couple of elements in this passage of Scripture this morning that we should be committed to in prayer. And I want to encourage you this morning, take notes, write these things down. These are things that you can look at your life and go, do I do this? When I pray, do I do this? And it's an easy adjustment for us to make so that our hearts can align with God's heart and life becomes the way that God intends it to be. So let me read the scripture to you here. It starts in verse 23 in chapter 4 of the book of Acts. Verse 23, and it says, and being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they had heard that, they raised their voices to God with one another in one accord and said, Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the nation rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand, your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that sign and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Whoa. That was because they prayed. That was because they prayed. I think the first thing that we need to look at in our prayer lives is we need to be committed to praising God. We need to be totally committed to praising God. I read this story this week, and this is about Abraham Lincoln. What can I do for you, madam? Abraham Lincoln asked an elderly lady who had been ushered into his private office. She placed a covered basket on the table and she said, "Mr. President, I've come here today not to ask any favor for myself or for anyone. I heard that you were fond of cookies, and I came here to bring you a basket of cookies." While tears trickled down the president's face, he stood speechless for a moment, and then he said, "My good woman, your thoughtful and unselfish deed greatly moves me. Thousands of people have come into this office asking for something since I became president, but you are the very first that has come offering something." Incredible. We often do more asking than giving. When it comes to our prayer lives, we ask for the cookies when we should be bringing the cookies. That's what it says here in Acts chapter 4. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they had heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God, and they said, "Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them." Do you get the impression that the early Christians were committed to prayer? Do you get that impression? Does it kind of stand out to you a little bit that there's kind of this trend that's happening? That this church, as it's growing leaps and bounds, it was a church that was committed to prayer. They raised their voices together in prayer to God. So I get that impression. It wasn't a part of their lives. It was their life. Prayer was their life. I say, wow, I need to look at myself and go, is prayer my life? You know, I think we all go through seasons of time where we pray and we ask God and we seek God, and then we kind of get off track. And we kind of say, yeah, things have been going pretty good. So, you know, I don't really have a lot to pray about. If those words come out of your mouth, something's wrong. I really don't have a lot to pray about. That should never be the words that come out of our mouths. As Christians, we need to be able to understand that we need to raise our voices together in praise and prayer of the Lord. We need to be committed to praising God. When those early Christians, they raised their voices together, they praised, what happened? What were they doing? They were lifting up praises. God, you are almighty. You are everlasting God. You have created the heavens and the earth and all of those things. You have done that. That was a praise offering. Because they were saying, wow, look at what God has done in our lives. We were just arrested. Remember the last time we saw somebody arrested? That was Jesus himself, and he was crucified. And so we're standing here before you, amazed that we're even alive, because the act of this council the last time took Jesus' life. I mean, imagine that. So they're realizing, wow, man, God, he is incredible. He is the master of all things. He is God Almighty, sovereign Lord. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of the lips that confess his name. We need to be committed to praising the Lord. We need to be committed to that. Instead of the give me prayers, maybe they should be the thank you prayers. Let me give you an example, because I thought about this week and I was thinking, you know, maybe I need to just be more thankful in my prayer life. Instead of just coming to the Lord and acting like he's the spare tire, I don't want him to be the spare tire. So I wrote down a few things that I need to be thankful for. Maybe you might think these are important too. This is my thank you prayer. Thank you, Father, for being our God and Father. Thank you for Jesus, the Holy Spirit, your word. Thank you for your church. Thank you for your people. Thank you for life, breath, and everything else. Thank you for my warm house, my comfortable bed, my good sleep at night. Thank you for the food that you put on my table. Thank you for my family. It's a radical change, isn't it, when we think, wow, when was the last time I spent thanking God for all of those things? When was the last time I spent some serious time thinking through my life and trying to figure out what am I really, truly thankful for? You know, at Thanksgiving, we all go around the table. I know it's a tradition in many households that you go around the table and you say, what are you thankful for? Oh, I'm thankful for the food that we have. That's a time where everybody recognizes Thanksgiving. Giving of thanks. But that needs to be something that happens in our lives every day, not just one Thursday at the end of November. Right? Doesn't it? Aren't we challenged in this, that I need to be thankful more? Every morning when we rise, we should be saying, thank you, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for your compassion, for your graciousness, the fact that you're slow to anger towards me, because I'm a blow it. I make mistakes. I do. But thank you, God, that you're slow to anger, that you're abounding in love towards me. And thank you, God, that you're not treating me the way that my sin deserves. Thank you for that. Whoa. That's what we need in our lives. I think our days would radically change. I mean radically change if we went to God with praises in our heart and thanksgiving in our heart and thanked him for those things. If we started with that. See, sometimes we get stuck in that mode of just going and saying, oh God, this day before me, I know it's going to be overwhelming. It's okay to share those things with God. But if that's all it is, then maybe if you could shift your thinking a little bit to be praising God and thanking him for all the wonderful things, even when you're in the midst of trial, to be able to say, God, thank you. Thank you. That's hard to do. That is really hard to do. But we need to be committed to praising God. I really do believe that we, if we would praise more, we would stress less. If we praise more, we would stress less. Second thing I see here, the other element, is we need to be committed to interceding for each other. We need to be committed to that. Can I tell you a story? When I was in second grade, I don't remember a lot about my childhood. I remember a few things, but I was being bullied by somebody. I had this fourth grader that used to come every day and push me down. Every day. He'd come, he'd laugh, he'd push me down. And you know, to be honest with you, I look back at that and I remember how angry I was as a kid because this kid would push me down every day. Every day, we'd find himself out there. He'd find me in a place where my feet were on the sand from the sandbox, and he'd shove me, and I'd go sliding across the ground. You know what I'm talking about. So I remember that there was this one day that he came and he pushed me down. Then out of the blue, this sixth grader came and walked up to that kid and shoved him down. Then he came over, and he looked at the kid, and he goes, how do you like it? What do you call that? Is that bullying too? Some people might call that bullying. Some people might call that standing up for someone else, right? Standing up for somebody else. You know, another word that you could put in there is that sixth grader interceded for me. So the application that I make with this is we are supposed to stand up for other people. We're supposed to. We're supposed to do that in prayer. Do you know that? That they went back, Peter and John went back, and they gathered together, and their voices were together, and they were praising God, and they were praying in one accord. They were doing it together. They were praying for each other. They were praying for boldness. We're supposed to intercede for each other. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests with this in mind. Be alert and always keep on praying for all of the saints. We need to be talking to God on behalf of other people. We need to be praying for missionaries. We need to be praying for evangelists. We need to be praying for our family members and friends that are struggling. We need to be praying for other believers. Why? Well, we need to be talking to God for them. Because you know what? The evil one, Satan, guess what he is? He's a big bully. He's a big bully. And the only way that we can push that back is by saying, God, keep my friends, keep my family members from the evil one. please, Lord, don't let Satan injure their soul. Please. That's what we need to be doing when it comes to interceding. As parents, do you not pray for your children? Do you not pray for your children? And even if you don't have children, you know children. Do you pray for them? Ah, yes, of course we do. Well, I knew this guy from this church way back, and he was a deacon. And he had two beautiful daughters. I mean beautiful daughters. So when his daughters got to the age where the boys came knocking on the door, hi, can Susie come out and play? When they were in their teenage years, he would answer the door with a shotgun over his shoulder. I heard that sound over there. Yeah. He'd answer the door with the shotgun over his shoulder. Don't you think that that put a little fear in those boys? Right? Okay. Okay. So he's a deacon, but he's also a dad. Right? Okay. He and his wife, they were quick to pray for their daughters. They were quick to pray for their daughters. They were the type of people that are like, oh, we're going to let these boys know where we're at and where they'll be at if they mess around. Okay. We're going to tell them that. But we're quick to pray for our daughters. And they prayed. And guess what? Those two girls, when it came time to date and go out into the world and get married, you know, those two girls married good, God-fearing men. Why? Because their parents interceded for them. Over and over and over again, the dad would be saying, I'm praying that you find a good, godly man to fall in love with, that'll treat you right, that'll be good to you, that'll take care of you. I'm praying that for you. Interceding for their daughters made a huge difference in their lives. Do you know that the devil is well at play on earth, and he wants to destroy relationships? We must pray for each other. We must, because he wants to take each one of us down. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 says, therefore, he is able to save completely. This is speaking of Jesus. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Do you know, I mentioned this on Thursday night, and I said, I'm going to talk about this a little bit more. Do you know that Jesus, his work on the cross, his resurrection, do you think that he just goes to heaven right now and just sits on the throne next to God? Do you think that that is his only function in heaven right now? And he's just waiting, kind of sitting back, oh, man, when's this whole thing going to happen? Maybe I got to make a plan to head back there pretty soon. Yeah. Do you think that that's what he's doing? No, it says that he lives now to intercede on our behalf. I want to give you some good news. Do you know that you may have friends praying for you, but Jesus himself is praying for you? Man, that's good stuff. That is so good for us to know that Jesus himself is interceding on our behalf. Even when we have a bad day, Jesus intercedes. What does that look like? I want to hear that prayer that Jesus is praying to the Father. Well, I came up with my lame prayer of what I think it might be like. I could take a guess, right? Here, it might be something like this. Father, oh, my child Jason has blown it today. Man, he has been in a bad mood all day. He hasn't prayed much, and he's gotten angry at people, even though they don't even know it. He's not being the kind of Christian that he should be today. Please, Father, have mercy on him. Have mercy on him. Because he does belong to me. Please be patient with him and give him the grace that he needs to overcome. It could be that. I believe that Jesus even intercedes for us on our worst day, when we're doing the worst things. I believe that Jesus intercedes for us. I am so thankful for that. Man, we need to be those that intercede for other people. If Jesus is interceding for us, which we need it, we need to be interceding for other people too. Prayer, we need to be committed to prayer. This is one of the elements. The last thing here this morning. We need to be committed to seeking God's will. I know many of you guys have heard this verse before. It's in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. This is a great verse. A lot of people know this verse. It says, "Ask, and it will be given unto you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened unto you." That, to me, is a fascinating scripture. It's fascinating. Think about this. Ask, seek, knock. If we do those things, what do you think will happen? What do you think will happen if we actually are the type of people that ask, seek, and knock? That we're continually going before the Lord saying, "Man, I want to know God's will." You know, God knows what's best for us. He does. He knows what's best for us. So we should be seeking him in our heart, in our prayer time. He is the one who does the best. He knows the best. He blesses the best. Proverbs, it says, "Trust in the Lord." This is Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." That was one of the first Bible scriptures that I ever learned, because I needed to learn how to trust God. I needed that. I wanted to know what God's will was for my life. So every day when I go and pick up my kids, I go and I'll pick up Jaden and Jesse at school, right? I get them in the car. I'm like, "Hey, how's your day, guys? Good, good, good. Good to see you guys." And within about, I'd say, within 3.5 seconds, okay, Jaden asked, "Dad, can we get a Slurpee?" This is every day. Okay? Every day. Tell me, is this truth? Okay. Every day. He gets in the car. He doesn't even say, he gets high out of his, "Hi, can we get a Slurpee?" Like that. It's like that, all right? So the other day, I got him in the car. I'm saying, "Hey, guys, how you doing? How's your day?" And Jaden's like, "Hi, Dad, can we get a Slurpee?" And I said, "No, we're not going to get a Slurpee today." And he said, "Oh, okay, all right." Then he asked me again, "Dad, can we get a Slurpee?" And then he proceeded to ask me over and over and over and over, to the point where I actually pulled over the car. I was like, something's going to happen up in here. You need to. When I was a kid, my dad would be like, "Okay, I'm going to pull over and I'm going to cut a switch off that tree. Remember that?" Okay, so I'm like, "Oh, Jaden, you have just pushed me beyond what I can handle about the Slurpees." So I pull over the truck and I say, "Jaden, I'm tired of hearing about the Slurpee. I already said no. No Slurpees. There's no Slurpees. Okay, stop asking me." And he goes, sticks out his little lip. And he goes, "Dad, if we can go and get a Slurpee, I'll never ask for one again." Yeah. Sometimes our prayer is like Jaden's request for the Slurpee, isn't it? "God, if you do this, I'll do this. Oh, God, if you would only just do this for me, I'll never do that again. Oh, I promise, God." And whether we realize it or not, we try to manipulate God into giving us whatever we want. It didn't work for Jaden, and guess what? It doesn't work on God. It doesn't work on God. Our Heavenly Father, he sees right through it. He sees our motives. James says this, James chapter 4, it says, "You want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and you fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. What you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures." Oh, gosh, that is like a knife to the heart. Because that speaks to every one of us. Many times what we do is we go to God and we want a Slurpee. We want the Slurpee because it tastes good and it's refreshing on a hot day. But guess what? God knows that it may not be good for us, doesn't he? Yep, he does. And so what does he do? He doesn't give in to our pleadings and our beggings. You see, there should be no doubt that we should seek the Lord's will for our lives. When we do, it pleases him. Not going to him with just saying, God, this is what I want to happen, but saying, God, what is your plan in this? You see, we shouldn't have that doubt. How do we discern God's will in our lives? This is a question that so many people ask. How do I know? How do I know that I know that I know that this is God's will? How do I know? I'll tell you this. Simple. It's easy. It is by reading God's word and praying. That's how we know the will of God. It is so simple. If it's against Scripture, then guess what? It is not God's will. It's just not. So give that one up. If it's against Scripture, it is not God's will, let it go. Some things are plain because they're written in God's word, but then other things are not so plain. And how do we find out those things? Well, guess what? We need to spend time in his word, but we also need to spend time in prayer, like deep prayer, to give God the time to be able to speak to us. Because we're like this many times. We're like, okay, God, what do you want me to do today? Okay, I didn't hear anything, so I'll make the plan. Okay, that's how we act. Okay, I didn't hear anything. God, wait. Nope, I didn't hear anything. So you want me to just do what I want today? All right, good, 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 good. That's how we kind of act towards God. It shouldn't be that way. We should be able to say, I want to sit and I want to contemplate. I want God to show me his will. I want to wait for God to intervene so that I know that this is his will. That happens by reading his word, and that happens by prayer. I want to know. God will intervene. We are to pray. We pray for the Lord to direct us, and guess what? He does. He does. He does. He does. God does that for us. Matthew chapter 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open unto you. When we continue to pray, seek and knock, God answers. He will open the doors that he chooses to open. This is how we discern God's will for our lives. We commit ourselves to prayer. So this couples counselor that I knew years ago, used to, when couples would come in and say, our marriage is failing, we're fighting all the time, I can't believe this is happening, this is terrible, oh gosh, our marriage is just falling apart. This couples counselor would say, when was the last time that you really like loved on each other? Like did stuff for each other and hugged each other and kissed each other. I mean really, you just cared for each other. When was the last time? When was the last time that happened? When was the last time you really displayed love towards each other? So here, is our relationship with the Lord not what it should be? Okay, then my suggestion is this, that you spend time loving on the Lord. Because if you want intimacy with God, if you want communication with God, then it takes time. Bless you. It takes time. We need to be committed to him in prayer. We need to spend time loving the Lord in prayer. When was the last time you thought about that? Man, I'm going to love the Lord in prayer right now. I'm just going to just give God all that I have, all the love that I have right now. Oh, yes. Liz said to me yesterday when we were in the car on the way home, we're driving through, and she's sitting next to me in my truck. You can lift up that little console. So she's like sitting next to me, like in one of the old trucks. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, it's like little. And she wanted to put on country music. I was like, no country music. This is no. Okay, so we're sitting in the car, and she's like looking at me. She's kind of like going, oh, and I was like, oh, and she goes, you know, I wish there was another word other than just love that I could tell you right now to tell you how I feel. And I was like, aw, that is so sweet. No, I didn't do that. No, I'm just kidding. But I was sitting there, and she's like, I wish there was another word that I could use. And in the Greek, we know there are multiple words for love, right? Okay, so we started going through, oh, okay, so then there's brotherly love, and then there's erotic love. Yeah, that's good stuff too. And then there's the, you know, hey, you're my friend, my Philadelphia friend, the city of brotherly love. And then there's the agape love. And it's like, you know, we kind of think about how all of those things pull together. When was the last time we said to the Lord, you know, I wish there was a word that I could use right now that you would understand the full depth of my love for you. When was the last time we've done that? Searched our heart for that word. Oh, God, I wish there was something that I could say that would just say everything that's in my heart. One word. We need, if we want intimacy with God, we need to spend that intimate time with him in prayer. That's when we can pour those things out and share that love that we have for God. We need to be committed to seeking God's will. We need to be committed to that. Amen? Let's pray. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your word and how even in this passage of scripture here, you see the disciples come together afterwards. They were excited to be together. They were a praying church. And I pray that we would be a church that is known because we pray. Because we pray for each other, because we lift each other up, we intercede on behalf of each other. Lord, would you help us with that? Because sometimes it's hard. It's hard because we're so busy. It's hard because there's so many things happening in life. Lord, help us to draw near to you in prayer. Help us to not treat you like a spare tire. Oh, Lord, we need help with that. Help us to not be the ones that just come to you when we're in trouble, but we're the ones that come to you to praise your name, to give you the honor that's due. Lord, speak to our hearts and minds. Help us to become a community of prayer warriors, people who are willing to sit down and really seek the face of God. Thank you, Lord, for your word, how it speaks to us, how powerful it is. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.